bow our heads in prayer. Lord, we, your servants, present ourselves before you. Lord, we want to know more of what our calling is, the what and the why and the how. Teach us, instruct us through your word by your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we ask this. Amen. I'm using as the text this morning from Ephesians chapter 4, the portion that you just heard read to you. I therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called. I'll always remember that first look that I had at my oldest daughter when she emerged from the womb, came into this world crying. As I looked at her, wow, it was love at first sight. Here was my pride and joy. And I'm not talking about furniture polish and dishwashing detergent. Pride and joy. And we looked at her and we said, oh, we have such high hopes and expectations. This little girl is going to be smart and talented and good-looking and successful. And, of course, as she grew up, what? She beat the charts and, you know, when she walked, learning to talk, riding her bike. And she would be always looking for the next thing to do, wanting to achieve something. She was determined and quite strong-willed. Well, she was ahead of the charts, but she was seriously lagging behind in some important things, such as obedience, respect, and cooperation. Well, as I said, she was a strong-willed child, and Dr. James Dobson had just written a book called Raising the Strong-Willed Child. And so Connie ordered that book and is sitting on the table. And at that point, Amy was just big enough to read, and she said, what's that for, Mom? Well, she really knew what that was about. Well, we all survived those years, and time went by, and it was time then to go off to university. And here she was, determined, and then when we showed up for her graduation, she said, oh, I got some good news. And anytime she said that, you better watch out. As I've been accepted into the MBA program. And I said, oh, boy, you know, I saw the dollar signs. Oh, don't worry, Dad, I'll take care of all, you know, like, yes again. But she was motivated by the dollar sign, motivated by money. She had changed majors a couple of times until she had that epiphany, and I'm not talking about the seventh Sunday after, but the epiphany, the lights went on and said, oh, if I'm going to make some money, I'm going to have to change majors and go into business. And so her job was in marketing, made a very fine living with that. But the M of marketing moved on to the M of marriage, which then moves on to the M of motherhood, and kind of forgot about that career that she had. But as she looked down the line one day, she realized that her kids were growing up, and they were growing up fast. And pretty soon there would be an empty nest, so what do you do then? She already settled in her mind. She did not want to go back into marketing and doing what she had done before. But the light went on further, and she looked at the medical field and said, I could be a nurse. So she went off to nurse's training, and she completed that RN. And then after that, she quickly went to get her BSN. And she really loved the work, the patient care. And the determination she had gave way to delight in doing what it was that she got to do. And one day she said to me, Dad, this is what God made me for. It was not just a platform for a paycheck, but it was a platform for serving people, serving God, witnessing, praying with other people on the staff and with patients, letting the light of Jesus shine. Great joy in her life when she found out what it was all about. Well, when we are in Christ Jesus, and when we know what we were made for, you know, if you're an ice cream scooper, you know, scoop the ice cream. What did God make you for? And when we know that, then work takes on a deeper significance and becomes for us a sacred calling. People are searching for something in their lives. You know, but everybody else is also actually searching for something. They want to know, first of all, what's their identity? Secondly, is they want to know, where do they belong? What's their community? Third thing they want to look for, they want to know, is meaning in life. Meaning, or we'll put it in three P's: your person, your people, and then your purpose. Your calling, your vocation, is a context to discover and to live out these three things, and leads us to what today's topic is, and that is a new commitment to your calling. And when you think about your annual theme, which revolves around serving, knowing your vocation puts you right into the midst of what our Savior theme for this year is. I'm going to turn to the call of Jeremiah chapter 1 and the 5th verse, where it says, "Before I formed you," this is God speaking to Jeremiah, "before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you, set you apart, dedicated you for a particular area of service." Now, it wasn't just Jeremiah or Isaiah, not just Abraham or Moses, as you heard that call to Moses, or the 12 apostles, you heard about the call that they had, or St. Paul. It includes every one of us as well. And you ask the question, what did God have in mind for you? Back when he first thought of you, even before time began. We go back to that first verse of Ephesians chapter 4. It goes this way: "I therefore, a prisoner for the Lord," that's his identity, prisoner for the Lord, "urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling," okay, that's our subject today, "to which you have been called." As you work out, that you live out your purpose. And when we are called, there is a distinctive way that we walk or conduct our lives in a way that corresponds to the holy calling that we have, because you are not an accident, a biological accident. No, you're intended by God, and God put a plan in place for your life. He gave you a job, no less than he gave a job to Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, and he said, "Tend my garden." We're all called upon to tend the garden of his calling in our lives. But we are called by the gospel. This goes into the core of our calling. And before we can think of what should our occupation be, we think about our call, and it's summarized in the gospel message. And it starts this way: we know that we are all born as sinners. We have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. We're in need of grace. We cannot save ourselves. But all along, God had a plan, the plan which included you, the plan that centered in the cross of his Son, Jesus Christ, where he bore the punishment and the guilt of all of our sin. And then he called and included you. My first aspect of call came to me in my baptism. And I maybe didn't so much hear it as I felt it as the water splashed upon me and the grace of God touched me. And you can probably all say, yeah, that's where it began for me as well. And then as we heard the words of God's love and grace, the light got brighter and brighter. And the offer of forgiveness and acceptance into his family, a place in that family of God, and a future which included ultimately eternity in heaven. He brought that to us. And the three P's about our person, the people, and the purpose, all of that got started. He placed you into community, fellowshipping with goodness and with giftedness. And now your vocation is more than your job, more than your occupation. Your work is more than a paycheck. It is a platform for you to give service to God, a place for witness, a place for serving other people. And work is no longer simply a job or occupation. It is a calling, a vocation. Even retirement is a vocation if we will let it be. You know, they speak of it as now entering the second act of your life. But it's acted out as a summons from God. Or even if you have a disability, you are still a person with a vocation, a calling. Though it may seem that things are more restricted, yet within that restriction there is so much that is available to us to live out our lives for Jesus Christ. And it is in our vocation that the Holy Spirit then sanctifies the Christian life. It is no longer lived out in a self-centered quest for worldly success, but we look for success along the lines as God would define it for us. And that is simply living out our faith, humbly serving God and serving others, giving Him glory. So, what is your vocation? Your vocation, first of all, it's a sacred thing. Martin Luther once said that whether you're the plowboy or the priest, you have a vocation. He said that the stable servant with the shovel in hand doing you know what serves God as much as the priest who stands before the altar. This is a biblical understanding, elevating the service of everyday people in a world where it had been thought that the only true vocation was a, quote, religious vocation or a church vocation, and that only those people had an authentic calling from God, but every one of us has, whether you're up front or whether you're in the pew. Luther further said that God Himself will milk the cows through him whose vocation that is. He also said, God does not need your good works, but your neighbor certainly does. So to exercise your commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ, you commit again and anew to the vocation. But to do that, you do not have to change location. You do not have to suddenly quit your job and go to a third world country. The fact is, you don't leave a secular job because as a Christian, you never had a secular job. It was a sacred job, a holy job. Your job does not give dignity to you. You give dignity to your job. Simply living out your faith in Christ, obedience to His commands, having a heart that is open and that is ready to be fully at His disposal, ready to serve where He has placed you or where He might even move you. You do holy service wherever you are, and you use that as a God-given platform. It was when some fishermen were fishing and mending their nets. It was when Moses was herding the sheep. It was when Joseph was being the best carpenter that he could be and getting ready to get married. When Abraham was taking care of business in Haran, that God called them into the next part of their vocation. But in the meantime, they were still serving the call of God. And they found then, as they were serving faithfully, that God had more purposes to fulfill in them. What they were doing was already important. And if they had not been faithful in that, would God take the chance, risk that, of calling them into the next part of their life? You see, your vocation, that's the arena that God has called you into, and it involves your occupation. You know, where do you get your paycheck? It involves your marriage and family, your parenting, probably even your singleness or your widowhood or your disability. It involves the part that you have in the life and the work of the church, what you do and how you live as a neighbor, as a volunteer, as a coach, as a clerk, as a professional, whatever it is that you are doing that God has called you into. Every part of life is meant to be lived daily in the forgiveness of our sins, committed to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, walking worthy of the calling to which He has called you. You see, God always has had a plan in mind for you, just like He had for Jeremiah before you were formed in the womb, I knew you. He had a plan all along and put together an unimaginable host of details down to the color of your grandmother's eyes to put you where you are today so that you would have that opportunity in your unique and very special and sacred situation to give him service, to be dedicated to that service. I talked about the three P's of your person, your people, and your purpose. But let's add a fourth, and that fourth would be passion. When she became a nurse, my daughter not only got a paycheck, but she got a passion that went with it. Commitment, real commitment, involves a passion. A generous giving out of ourselves, willingly, joyfully, in love and service, in gifting other people with the gift of ourselves toward them. Now, I know that not all people are happy with their jobs. One source of statistics that I inquired into said that only 20% of workers are passionate about their jobs. I get that. When I was a college student and seminary student and had these summer jobs, remember really well, with a certain amount of pain, you know, working for Eastman Kodak in the Midwest Distribution Center and the shadow of the tall buildings in downtown Chicago. The trucks would come in, unload things. We would load them up. We would put them in different places so that then they could be unloaded again and sent off to fulfill orders. The thing that I remember most of all is the attitude of the workers. Surly, grumpy, hostile, and as soon as the supervisor's back was turned, mocking the supervisor. However, there were a few who seemed to really get it, and they were joyful. They went about their work with happiness and with an attitude. And there was only one more attitude that is more infectious than enthusiasm. Yeah, and that is being grumpy and having a bad attitude. That can be very catching. Well, putting it all together, are you living with a sense of purpose, even in your job or even in your retirement? Or are you just kind of waiting for maybe something else to happen so you can quit, waiting for something maybe better to come along? But we have to go back and consider the core of our calling, and that is when God called you into faith, into a relationship with Jesus Christ. Last Sunday morning at Ablaze, I baptized the baby, and I made the sign of the cross on his forehead and over his heart to mark him as one redeemed by Christ, the crucified. You know what? You're marked people. Everybody here that's been baptized, and I assume it's probably almost everybody, okay? You are a marked person, and you have an assignment that you're to carry on. Well, it may be that where you are is not where God wants to ultimately leave you. And there may be other things that he's got in mind for you that may even have some surprises. And I refer to the prayer of Jabez in 1 Chronicles 4 in the 10th verse. Jabez says, called upon the God of Israel, saying, oh, that you would bless me and enlarge my borders, and that your hand might be with me. And it says, and then God granted what he asked. The enlargement of our borders, even when you feel constricted, even when you feel, I don't have a lot of opportunity in front of me, may the Lord enlarge the boundaries, push back the borders, especially in our thinking, in our understanding of who we are and what our job is in our world. And I ask you to do this. First of all, is look at the necessities of your life. What is absolutely required? What do you got to do? What are the biggest needs? Secondly, look at your abilities. How has God gifted you and equipped you? And don't put yourself down, okay? Look honestly at what God has given for you. The third thing you look at are, what are the passions? What is it that just gives me the greatest joy in life? And then finally, you look at the opportunities that God places before you, commending everything, being dedicated to serve the Lord, and making a brand new commitment to your calling in life. Now, you've all seen these cop shows or the firefighters or the rescuers, okay? And they put themselves into bodily danger in order to rescue someone. Or the first responders, you know, someone's out there in the water. How are they going to get saved? Someone goes out, they risk their life and bring this person back, and the child that was in danger is now safe. And the mom just and the dad, they are so excited, and they say, thank you, thank you, thank you. And the cliche goes this way, oh, just doing my job, ma'am. You know, Christians, yeah, are we just doing our job? Doing what God has called us to do. In Luke 17, Jesus describes when the servant has done what the servant is called to do, he doesn't expect the master to come and say, oh, great job, thank you, thank you, thank you, how can I thank you for doing it? He would just say, no, we are unworthy servants, we have only done what is our duty. But may the doing of our duty, when we do it, in the Lord, through the Lord, for the Lord and for his people, the duty becomes our delight as well. May the Lord work that in our hand, in our lives, and may we make that new commitment to the calling that he has for us in our lives. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for including us, for calling us, for reaching out to us, and for then gifting us and giving to us, Lord, opportunities to be of service to others. Lord, I know sometimes we get down, we get a little depressed, we get sort of jaded with the everyday and the mundane, Lord, but help us to get a new sight on this and enthusiastically and with joy serve you and our fellow men every day. Thank you for this. In Jesus' name we pray.